Well, I'm looking for an apology from both of you two. I mean, Dave Harrigan with the cheap shot at Kirk in the open. And then really, let's be honest, if there's one person who drove Kirk Cousins out of town more than anyone, it's Matthew Caller. And the two of you, I'm expecting a lengthy email to Kirk Cousins. Maybe you want to tweet at him. Maybe you want to go to Kohl's. All I know is Kirk Cousins last night, 42 of 58, 509 yards, 4 TDs. Harrigan, before we get to Caller, it's your little cheap shot in one of your cute opens. 509 yards, wasn't really throwing short of the sticks last night, was he,
I actually
Dave?
Did note him throwing short of the sticks at least a handful of times on third downs.
Hmm. Oh, so you're critical of 4 TDs and 509 yards? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying if I threw 58 times, I could at least get about 250.
Okay, so that's not an apology. Caller, I'm told you helped pack the bags. And as he crossed, he drove back to Michigan. I was told your final words were good riddance. What do you want to say? You know?
Well, you know what? Last night, as I was watching that game, I felt myself twitching, and I
believe
smelled
it.
Something weird in the air. Why does this feel so familiar?
Whoa.
Why does it feel so familiar that there was a game that Kirk should have lost, and even threw an interception that should have lost in the game, and their win probability was about 5%, and then somehow, from the depths of their season, maybe being on the brink, Kirk Cousins finds a way to keep it alive, to move his team one game above 500. It all felt so familiar to see that. I will say that I was legitimately concerned about his health when he started the season.
Yeah.
And
I would want to see.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he was not moving well. I wouldn't want to see that. And so he's picked it up significantly. He looks so much healthier than he did before. And so somehow in a 500-yard game, still had a lot of Kirkian moments.
Yes, he did.
In that game that drove me crazy. And, you know, I just, it's a reminder of also that, you know, they don't have a very good defense and maybe their offensive line isn't the best.
Mm-hmm.
You go, I wonder how many millions it would have cost to fix those things. Oh, wait, they don't have them because they signed Kirk. But I did get a text.
I mean, 509 yards and taking a shot at his salary. How about if it was 600 yards? Matthew, would that have been enough? 700?
Then Norm Van Brocklin would have been upset if he had gone for 600.
That's true.
I did get a text from somebody, a former Viking, who texted me last night. Can you imagine if the Vikings weren't 4-0 and they were watching Kirk go for this? But I will say, I think everyone should be happy. It always made sense to me for the Falcons to do this. They needed a quarterback. They needed this type of player because they had a roster that was largely built and ready to win, and the Vikings needed to do their reset and spend all the money on the roster. Everyone should be pleased.
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up right now. Vikings, Falcons. When is that ball game here? And it's here. So Kirk comes here. Hold on. I've got it. I could prep before or just during the interview. Some do it before. That seems a little more thorough.
December 8th.
Kirk Cousins. When Kirk comes out, and let's say the Falcons are still faring well. Well, first of all, the Vikings...
we'll probably have it sewed up by then.
The Vikings may just announce their own offense, so Kirk doesn't get introduced. Will we get a tribute video? NFL, they don't really do the tribute videos, do they, Matthew? Which I don't mind because it's like in the NBA and NHL now. If a guy plays 10 games, I swear to God, he gets like a 90-second tribute video. You know, knock it off.
And returning to Target Center, Luke Ridnour.
Yes.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Yeah, they don't really do that in football. It's too intense, I guess. I did think that maybe they would show the Minneapolis Miracle and show Diggs on the sideline when they played the Texans. They did not do that. But I imagine when he comes out that he'll probably get some sort of polite cheer the same way that Packers fans cheered Aaron Jones last week. I don't think that there's any animosity between either side, really. I think everybody knew it was done. Minnesota fans wanted Kirk to win here. He gave a lot of exciting moments, couldn't quite get over the top. And we all kind of said, well, this was the right time to break up and move on. And he has improved greatly over the last couple weeks there. They look like a what? 9-8 team? Was that right? The Falcons? Maybe a
division helps them, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It definitely does. But, you know, they look like the same type of team that Kirk led here over and over. And the Vikings are this kind of mystery to us because they have been so good, but we keep asking how long it's going to sustain. So by December 8th, we'll have the answer for both of those questions. But I think as far as like reassessing, was it the right thing? It was definitely the right thing for both sides, and I think everybody's happy with the way that it worked out.
This is the man who runs Purple Insider. He's great with us, joins us every Friday. Matthew Collar's with us. Okay, so let's go back to Green Bay in this way. Game's over. Naylor makes a poor decision. Green Bay gets some momentum. They carry things significantly in the second half. The Vikings hang on and win the game. We've watched this in sports forever. Happens on a regular basis in the NBA team, builds up a big lead. All of a sudden, the other team starts getting momentum, especially when you're at home. And so it's not surprising. So I get the momentum part. But as you look back at that game and talk to people, did the Packers in the second half schematically discover certain parts of the Flores defense that other teams can try to take advantage of throughout the remaining parts of the season? And there's still, obviously, 13 games to go.
Well, I mean, sort of yes and no, because in a way, if the biggest weakness of the Flores defense is don't you dare get up 28-7 or you'll pick them apart. Well, that's, you know, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But I think we did learn that when it comes to the clutch moments of games, who opponents think is the right person to attack. And it didn't really help the Packers. It did at times, but that person is Byron Murphy Jr. They do not want to throw it to Stephon Gilmore. They are treating him like he is Darrell Revis in his prime. He is hardly getting targeted all season long. And
is that surprising you?
A little bit, but you know, I think also they've got him playing a lot of zone, and this dude is absolutely brilliant when it comes to playing zone. And he can still play man as they did last year a lot, but it's more of a zone system, which means he's going to be reading route combinations. He's going to be in the right spots all the time. And I think he's just not making it easy on anybody. But reputation is part of it. The other part is if you make a mistake toward him, it will be an interception most of the time because he's a former defensive MVP. So I think he's getting a little bit of the respect factor there, but also he's their best corner. And most teams, when they plan to go after the weak link. And that clearly is Murphy Jr., except for when he picks it off or when he causes a fumble. So if your weak link can actually handle his own, you're in pretty good shape. I also think that they just got gassed. It was not a cold day there. It was you know, the sun was beating down all day, and they were out there the entire second half. And the offense had some three and outs. They stopped the clock on themselves with incompletions where they probably should have just run the football. I think the only thing I came out of it was really on the offensive side that Kevin O'Connell will just never be able to help himself when it comes to
passing
no matter
the
what the score. He wants the quarterback to throw touchdowns no matter the score. You can't just on second and one hand it off and have Will Reichard kick a field goal and go up 31-7. You must try to throw a fade to your 5'9" running back in the end zone. But the other thing was, too, the second half, I think the reason the defense got beat was because Darnold was not sharp for really the first time. He had some plays where the timing was off, and you could really see that on the film where it just the throw should have been there and he didn't get it off in time. But the fact that he recovered and led the biggest drive to close out the game, I thought was a really good sign for his confidence. So I think there were a couple cracks on both sides, but I mean, overall, when you're up by that much and you're trying to close it out, as you said, no one is going to be able to hold off a good team like Green Bay for the entire day when you get up like that.
Collar's going to come right back with us. We'll talk Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk the NFL in London and many more items. Right now, during this break, just go check out Purple Insider mailbag today. Comparisons between this year and other great seasons for the Vikings. Podcasts. So much to consume. PurpleInsider.com. Check it out. Back with Matthew in moments.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Quick correction here. I've just got it locked in right away. So it's purpleinsider.football. Best way to track it now. Purpleinsider.football for Mr. Purple Insider. Matthew Collar. Aaron Rodgers. How much football does he have left in him? Can we tell? Because obviously last week in their loss, he was not very good. The team was not very good. The offensive line was not very good. Have there been sustained stretches where Rodgers, maybe not his peak Rodgers, but still looks like an upper echelon NFL quarterback?
So, by the way, I bought purpleinsider.football and purpleinsider.com because I just liked the dot football. So
it's I like
not,
it. Okay. Like either way
go,
works.
You could go either way. You're going to find the work either way. As far as Aaron Rodgers goes, I would say there has been flashes of the Aaron Rodgers that we once knew that demolished the Vikings and had those great battles with Mike Zimmer. It is not the same Aaron Rodgers. And part of that is that it's not the same Green Bay Packers. He has tried to bring everybody with him that he could, but the band is just not the same with a new drummer and keyboard player that don't know what he's doing, which I think has happened a couple of times with that team, especially last week where they couldn't seem to get the cadence right. And Garrett Wilson, who is a phenomenal talent, was looking back at him at the end of the game. Dude, what are you doing? What check did you make? What change did you make at the line of scrimmage? He had trained those wide receivers to know exactly every whim that he wanted at the line of scrimmage. And I don't think the Jets players know exactly what he's talking about. And that's why you see Alan Lazard, once again, the guy from Green Bay. And he's of course, you know, trying to trade for Davante Adams. Like, why don't you just bring over, you know, David Bakhtiari to get him to do the snap right? He had his own little system that he invented there with Nate Hackett. And I don't think it's one that you can really teach guys now. So there's clearly some issues there. His mobility's not great. He's getting rid of the ball as quickly as he ever has in his entire career. And I had a stat in the Friday mailbag, I think, or on the podcast somewhere. I had a stat that when he throws under 2.5 seconds, he's really effective. But when he holds on to the ball, he's been very ineffective so far this year, which makes me wonder, is Brian Flores going to try to not blitz Aaron Rodgers like crazy and see if he could sit in the pocket and pick them apart with maybe some anxiousness about the Achilles and not being on the same page with his wide receivers, make him really think through the coverages. I will be fascinated to see how this battle ends up playing out.
You have a column and story today, and it's mainly looking at great Viking seasons once we get past the defensive-led Fran Tarkenton, Purple People Eaters, and talking about how many of these seasons, which turned out to be great regular season teams, some level of success in the playoffs, just came out of nowhere. You know, wasn't a situation where, hey, they just won the Central, they just won the North. You knew they were about to be great. Even the 87 season, when because of the strike, when they were talented, because the record wasn't that good, and then they have the dominating wins over the Saints and also the 49ers. What continuity did you see on those seasons outside of just the unexpected nature of them?
Yeah, it is remarkable how there's almost no time where we ever went into a Viking season that we knew it was going to be really good. And the ones that we thought were going to be really good were almost always disappointing. When, you know, you talk about like 2010 or 2018. But I think that the similarity is that through four games, we didn't really know. And it wasn't all that predictive. I mean, in 2017, they are 2-2 through 4 weeks. And Case Keenum is starting. And we think, okay, maybe they can Jim McMahon this thing in the way to a playoff game. And instead, they're sitting there at 13-3 with a home playoff game against the Saints and a first-round bye. But there were other years, as everyone well knows, including Josh McCown throwing the touchdown at the end, making Paul Allen lose his mind. And then, 2016, which was my first year on the beat covering them, they were 5-0, and they had three straight blowout wins going into the bye week. They came out of the bye week and had Mike Zimmer's eye pop out, North Turner quit, and all hell break loose with that team. Now, I think that the stability of Kevin O'Connell is going to help them, the stability of the veteran players that they have. But I think part of it is there have been four-game win streaks, and sometimes it results in 1998, and they outscore their opponents by 200-and-something points, and sometimes it ends up being disappointing. So I think we are raising the bar when you go to 4-0, but I don't think until we get a few more weeks in that we're really going to be sure that it's one of those years.
Matthew Collar is with us. Okay, let's finish with this. This is a game in London. This has been going on for years and years, right? You have Jacksonville going over there multiple times a year. Where do you, as a diehard football guy, where do you stand on international play, and where does it go next with the NFL? We're kind of used to this rotation. It was different this year when you had, a game right from the get-go in Brazil on a Friday night involving the Packers and Eagles. So what is the next progression for the league outside of just the standard home and road games in your home stadiums right here in the States?
Yeah, it's really hard to see a franchise ending up there, and I think the Vikings are proof of that, where their trainer was talking about, or their equipment guy, Mike Parsons, was talking about having to move 20,000 pounds of equipment overseas. That just seems like if you were asking people to do that all the time. Yeah, that is a lot to ask. And I think that from the perspective of fair play, I never feel like these London games are actually real football in the same way that we see on a weekly basis, because the teams are just so mind bleeped by the travel and everything else. I mean, it's just, the games are never good. They're never normal. Even last 2022 against the Saints was such a bizarre and ugly game. That's usually how it goes. So from that perspective, I get a little bit like, okay, even this one, are they going to beat a team they should beat? They would have beat the Jets at US Bank Stadium, and I don't know what's going to happen here. But from the perspective, it kind of reminds me of the Swifties last year getting into football. Hey, more people liking football is good for everybody, right? Everybody should learn to get their chance to see Justin Jefferson and everything else. I don't mind it. There's just no real good answer to the logistics, and there's no good answer unless we all get on the same time and change the way the sun moves around the earth, or the other way around.
That'd be dramatic.
I think it is the other way around.
Yeah.
I don't think that this is ever going to be something that's easy to do or can be done like all season long.
Okay, have we confirmed? Are you in for a double shot on Monday?
Of what?
Are we just asking him on air right now?
I was going to talk to him afterwards and see if he wants to join us on Monday, because Chip's too good to join.
Yeah.
Oh, I see, because Chip is – I was going to say, what are we talking? Double shot of Taco Bell sauce or something? If you want to talk football, I'm down.
We might work in – we'll have a Lynx update for sure with a couple games.
Big night.
So let's plan on Monday, 2:05, if that works out with your schedule.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. I'll work around. I got a lot of interviews, requests.
Yeah. You're in high, high demand. I know that. Thank you, caller. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Chad.
PurpleInsider.com, PurpleInsider.football. He's running football. I mean, Roger Goodell, get out of here.
Well, he is football.
He is football. That's it. Am I wrong? Coming up next. Okay, probably the biggest local story, and one we've talked about multiple segments for the valid reasons about this and the problem, which it keeps happening too many times. Minneapolis police arrested a kid yesterday. A kid. He's a 10-year-old. He was driving a car. Yes, a 10-year-old driving a car. And it was at Nellie Stone Johnson School. And he was driving the car on the grass near the playground. How many kids nearby, Dave? Dozens and dozens, right?
Plenty of kids, playground supervisors, yes.
Yeah. And it turns out that this kid since May of 2023. He's 10 now. So it's even possible he was 8 back then. We don't have a birthday here. But at minimum, 9. Had at least 3 entries with the Minneapolis Police.
30, excuse me.
I said 3 and I was about to correct myself. You're right. 30 entries with the police dating back to May 2023. Arrested twice for auto theft-related crimes. Also suspect in, wait for it, 12 cases, including auto theft, robbery, assault with a dangerous weapon. O'Hara, we're going to hear from him again. O'Hara made the point the family has been cooperative. Well, this makes a lot of news. So the Hampton County Attorney's Office, led by Mary Moriarty, comes up with a statement saying this, part of this. It's important to note that in all these cases, a person, including a child, cannot be prosecuted if they're not capable of understanding the legal proceedings or assisting their lawyer in the defense. A court-appointed psychologist makes a recommendation on competency to a judge who ultimately makes the decision. If the child is not found competent by the court, the case against them must be dismissed or suspended, and the child must be released from custody. Another part of it said, what we need is clear. This is, again, from Mary Moriarty and the Hennepin County Attorney's Office. We need residential placements with varying levels of security in our community that are resourced and staffed to be able to accept and successfully treat our youth with complex needs, and we need urgent and immediate action to address the issue now. Because we know this has happened, I don't want to say constantly, Dave, but at a rate that is unfathomable and unacceptable. So, Brian O'Hara, in the last 30 minutes, met the local media. Here's part of what Brian O'Hara said about this case and the overall dilemma.
And while it had started with the problem of theft of Kias and Hyundais, it has continued into more serious crimes. And this is a situation where a mother, who I believe is a good parent, has been asking the system for help, and the system has been failing her and failing her child. And we need to figure out what the answer to that is. It's disappointing to the community that when police do bring someone like this in, which is our job, when we find someone, we arrest them, we bring them in, that the system doesn't have an answer for what to do with someone this young. And that is the revolving door that we've been seeing over and over throughout this year. And it's an urgent problem that everyone at all levels of government need to come up with an answer to address. It's further exacerbated by a state law which recently changed that'll go into effect in 2026, which will not allow persons arrested by police to be detained at all under age 13.
I'm against that law, by the way. I don't think that's saying, Dave, you're going to just throw 10, 11, 12-year-olds in Stillwater. But there has to be some level to determine the competency. And I think you can do that if the crime is so serious while the person is still in police custody. Are you with me?
Sounds very fair.
Seems fair. Especially with somebody who may have had, I don't know, 30 contacts with the Minneapolis police. Let's also note, O'Hara points out what we've tried to say over and over again. Sometimes parents are awful, don't care, selfish, criminals themselves. Other times parents are great, they're doing almost everything, and it's not enough. So to automatically say, it's only the parents' fault, it's not. It can be. And here he's saying, good parent, cooperative. Something has to happen with the availability of sending these kids somewhere for rehab. Maybe it's whatever level of punishment that they can see at 10, 11, and 12 compared to obviously what's very different even at 16, 17, 18, let alone 30 and 40 and 50. But just letting the kids out, not having a place for them to go, the same kids causing the same issues over and over again, cannot happen. End of statement. from me. What do you want to say?
I think you said it well. I don't know if I have a whole lot to add other than it has to change. It has to change. The chief knows it. Mary Moriarty knows it. The mayor knows it. Everybody in the city knows it has to change.
St. Paul has to be a part of this, too, about changing laws, right?
Sure.
At the state level, but also in the city. Okay, we're late just because, number one, we're always late, am I wrong? And two, there's a pretty reasonable story. Here we go. Let's play.
It's that time of the week where we get to hear these special few words from Chad Hartman.
It's not that disruptive. It's going to be over quickly.
No. Not those words. Chad will use those later. I meant these ones.
God, Dave, you're right. You're so right, Dave. You're amazing. No
chance. Yeah, those are the ones. Let's play Am I Wrong?
I'm going to have my attorney call you on that fake audio. What do we have?
It's 100% real audio, not altered at all. Just wish you'd finally admit it. But that's fine. There's a lot of people that in this world that don't admit to things that they clearly did. We're actually going to continue on pretty much a very similar topic, talking about crime, talking about violent crime specific to the city of Minneapolis. And for the second time, I believe it's just the second time in the history of the Am I Wrong segment, the committee voted, in fact, just yesterday.
Are we playing best ones again?
No.
Best ofs?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. No, we've done that multiple times. Believe me, not just once. We'll be hearing more of those. The committee has welcomed a guest Am I Wronger.
Really?
Yes.
In person?
Not quite.
Oh.
Not quite. But we have their audio.
Halle Berry?
They were kind enough to put this on tape.
Oh.
And this person was kind enough to address crime in Minneapolis, violent crime specifically, and a way that this person didn't generate this idea themselves, but said they've heard it being discussed as a way to possibly cut down on crime and mitigate such things. Here we go.
A great tool to de-escalate is bubbles.
That's right.
Literally, bubbles. And I haven't seen this yet, but apparently if you got a whole bunch of people that are looking to cause trouble, if you put bubbles out there, it's really hard to look tough when you got bubbles floating around. You're thinking I'm joking. I'm actually not. It's a bubble machine. And the people that are looking to cause trouble decide, I can't look tough and be around these bubbles. And so they disperse. It de-escalates the situation. And the people that aren't looking to cause trouble love bubbles.
There you go, Chad. Bubbles. The greatest unused crime-solving and crime-stopping tool that police have yet to put to use.
Am I wrong? This is a great example of a story that we were going to talk about day after day after day, and we needed to, and it was on me, because I found the audio from, it's Nick Halter with Jacob last Saturday, I think.
I believe so.
And he says to Halter, I just heard about this. If anybody believes when an actual serious crime is taking place, that one of the options should be bubbles, they should be fired. Okay. I don't want to see in any manner, oh, my God, guns are drawn or a fight is breaking out or something. And I know we'll do. Let's try the bubbles. And so are they off there just each with the standard, you know? I don't know. Do they have the bubble machine or are they traditionalists? They just blow it right out the mouth.
I would hope they have the machine. But also, you've got the ones.
I'd like some Pyrus, too.
Yeah, you get the things, you know, you can make the giant bubbles. That attracts some attention.
So are we really saying that some of the areas in downtown, especially in summer, when, again, the same people are causing the issues, that we think they're going to disperse or they're going to be friendly now because bubbles are all around them? Is that what the mayor is trying to convince us of? Or that people have told him, so he's now going with this?
I think it's a working theory. They're workshopping it, Chad.
Okay. Where do you stand on bubbles overall? Over, under, proper?
Well, there's a lot of different forms of bubbles. Okay. You mean just the bubbles that you can blow? Or are we talking bubble bath, bubbles the chimp? What kind of bubbles?
Bubbles the chimp Who's taking care of him after Michael?
I'm a little worried about how
yeah,
he's doing
I
these
don't
days.
Know. And did he have any access to the propofol? That would not be good.
No.
The big giant bubble machine. Where do you stand on that?
Messy.
Kind of fun, though. Bubbles are kind of fun.
Yeah, well, see, the mayor said that. Yeah, for those that aren't causing trouble, everyone loves bubbles.
Yeah, but, I don't think it's going to dissuade one criminal from stopping her or his intent to commit a crime.
Are the police going to have extra bubble juice in the cruisers for when the machines run out?
We haven't reached the levels we want, but we have an untapped corporate sponsorship with Bubbles R Us.
Perhaps they can have, like, did your kids have, like, the bubble mower?
You know, yes.
The lawnmower that shoots
sure.
the bubble? My
Love
kids
it.
Had I had that.
I had it, too.
Perhaps all the officers can be fit with a bubble mower. They can run around downtown when they see stuff going on.
Like,
uptown,
10th,
north,
11th,
south,
Hennepin is an issue.
Sure.
So, in other words, some offers are going to come up, and they're going to be traditional. What's going on? Let's break this up. Meanwhile, other officers will have – one will have a bubble machine, and one will have the lawnmower, and try to just fit in as the bubbles are going up. Don't draw any attention to the officers for what they're doing, but all of a sudden, there is just going to be a happiness about the criminals now.
Yeah.
Does it last, or is it just while the bubbles are in play?
It's a very good question.
Thank you.
I think that's still to be worked out. But I think you could actually dress them also incognito as park workers. So they're just across the street.
Right.
You know, all of
yes.
Well, that guy's just mowing the lawn. That's all. Where are the bubbles coming yeah. from?
Because there are a well, lot of people mowing the lawn on 11th and Hennepin at like 1:30 on a Saturday night.
You got to get it done.
Yeah. Bubbles. 48 past two. More Am I Wrong? You can chime in at any point. 651-461-9226. Dave, among the headlines, New York Post. I've had sex with 480 people this year, but I'm very picky. I make men fill out an application form.
Is that the blonde gal that was trying to go for like 600 something?
I think so.
The Post is very enamored with her.
They are.
That's where there's a story about, you know, where's the countdown yes. at every 2 weeks?
Yes, that's right. She's dubbed Australia's most sexually active woman. Congratulations.
I should hope so.
I mean, and she's very picky. I mean, okay. What's next?
New headline. Chad found a new way to take away time from
I did.
Well done. Well, I saw this.
I'm actually looking for the application process, what I'm doing. Hold on here. Well, thanks.
Good luck with that.
Passing strongly.
Another headline. I think I even maybe saw it in the Post this week. Should you let your dog sleep yeah. in bed with you?
Yeah, we need to even give more time for this. Maybe we'll get back to it next week. Let's keep going.
It was a Q&A piece, the opinions of three experts, all who happen to be dog trainers, including Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer himself. As expected, the experts agreed the consensus. It's just fine. It's getting good for the dog to sleep in bed, which is absolute lunacy if you actually care about, the sleep and health of the human in the bed. Dog hair and drool everywhere. Frequent waking up just so they can spin around and lay back down, barking at the wind at 2 a.m.
Don't really sound like a dog lover here.
I love dogs, but you know where they can sleep? In their own darn bed.
Am I wrong? 100% right. Not even up for debate. And you might say, you know, your dog, let's go with a dog name I just came up with, Bubbles. Your dog is sweet and tiny and is off in the corner. Even that dog is probably annoying too. No, love dogs. Life is better. We don't deserve them. We're going through some dog trauma at the house right now, which I am very, very bummed out about. But no, dogs have that. Buy them a nice, sweet bed. Cushions. You want to give them some trazodone to help them sleep. You want to give them a blindfold.
You do that.
You can all do those things. Human bed, dog bed, we don't come together.
Big distinction right there.
Yeah.
Getting the temper.
That's
Peter.
What I'm here for.
Thank you.
I'm here for distinctions.
Surprised.
You are correct.
Thank you. Feels good to say that, doesn't it?
Not well, really it's good. Rare. I mean, so.
All right, I got one more for
seasonal.
You.
Seasonal.
This one drove me nuts a little bit this week.
Yes.
Two instances. not everyone who rides a bike, scooter, you know, motorcycle, they're all going to wear a helmet. I get that. But something I saw twice, I do not understand. Sunday, a man on like a Kawasaki kind of crotch rocket sort of bike, not wearing a helmet, but the helmet strapped via bungee cord to the back of the bike.
What's the point then?
Tuesday, walking towards my car downtown, woman on one of the scooters, in traffic, helmet dangling from the handlebars.
Well,
wear it is one thing, but to own the helmet, have it with you, and still not wear it, it's the greatest combination of laziness and terrible judgment the world has ever seen.
Am I wrong?
I guess the only part of that I have an inquiry about is the one on the scooter. Could she also be arriving downtown on her motorcycle? She wears a helmet on the motorcycle, and she's where the motorcycle helmet will be stolen if she keeps it by the motorcycle.
Well, she was on the Rentum Lime scooter.
Yeah, I saw somebody today just buzzing by me.
I can tell you no, because I see her almost every day as she passes me.
Well, then it's utterly ridiculous.
Yes.
And this is separate from should everybody be required to wear a helmet. We've delved in that one again. We probably should. But if you're going to have it with you, if it's on said motorcycle, when you're on the highways themselves, how many other areas are you driving on where it's more precarious? I don't have an answer for that. That was an excellent performance.
Thank you very much.
Very, very good. Henry Lake.
I credit Bubbles.
Is in for Jason. I don't know if I have any bubbles or not. Hey, Linda's Construction is great. Check it out. They can help you out in so many different ways. Have a great weekend, everybody.